Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Nick this morning. Dell took the day off, do some stuff with Dad. But here's the deal, is we got Dana Holgorsen right now here on ESPN 97.5, and he's brought you my Damaris Barbecue. That's where you get your fajitas on. It's where you get your barbecue on. It's where you get your Greek salad on. It's where you watch your games. The Cougs are going to be on the road this week at Navy, so they will have the game up there. It's brought to you also by Chastang Ford. Great Cougs. Joe and Patrick Chastang, they love the Cougs. They support the programs, and they're Houston people. So you're looking for that Ford car or truck, that's where you go. And, of course, HRMP, Mike Holly, is a Coug. He blocked for Andre Ware, and they started HRMP, and it has been unbelievable ever since. So those are great Coug supporters. And if you're looking to support Cougs out there, all of you Cougs, make sure that you support those three businesses. And let's bring in the head coach of the Houston Cougars, Dana Holgorsen. What's up?
Those are all real good people that you just described there. Houstonians and Cougars and just wonderful people. All but Yanni and Frankie, I don't know about those guys.
Yeah, those two, I'm not sure about either. But, well, they're Aggies, though. That's the problem with them, those two. So, but they do support the program. They love the program. Right. We were all out there on Friday night, and what another slow start. How do you had a slow start against Tulane, and that was obviously how much time you had off. That was understandable, but another slow start against BYU. What as a coach can you do differently to get a quicker start for your club?
Well, just talk about it more than anything. You know, I did bring that up yesterday after practice. I said, guys, after the first quarter in both games, we've been down 38-10. I said the good news is we rallied and we were up in both those games after three quarters. You know, we finished one game, we didn't finish the other game. I think our opponent probably had something to do with the second one, but just focus on it. I don't know if you can really, you know, practice that unless you just line up and play another game. But we talk about it, and we're going to focus on it. Try not to, fall behind. The one thing that we did a better job of in the first quarter, the bad really wasn't that bad. We did opening drive, march it down, kind of stalled out, got some points. But they just came out pretty hot. We can't coach the corner any better than we did. As far as covering that thing, the number five just made a play on him, which he's done that for five straight games. The quarterback was spot on, as good as advertised, but just focus on it. Hopefully here against Navy, we'll start a little bit quicker and won't fall behind. That way we can be up a little bit more after three quarters.
Yeah, Tulane was mistakes and turnovers and not taking care of the football, and that was understandable. This wasn't – that five is good. Dude's a good – Dax is a good football player. And he went up and made a play, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you know what? You guys bounced back. That second quarter was awesome. I thought Christian Trahan, what a weapon, Dana. And he was finding him. But that was in the first half. Couldn't find him in the second half?
Yeah, they started covering them. So when that happens, it makes it a little harder to get the ball to them. Christian did that for us last year, and he's a dang good football player now. Even after game one against Tulane, he didn't have really the stats, but he was our offensive player of the game. So, I think he's a guy that's just now coming into his own. He's got team captain qualities. He's got really good talent. Those plays he made last year, he just didn't do it as much as he did in that second quarter, So the relationship that him and Toon's got is really good, really strong. But Christian's an all-around player. He's physical in the run game. He's always in the right spot. He's physical. He's tough. Does the job. He can run routes to get open and catch the football as well.
Yeah, that is a hell of a weapon when he is. Right down the middle, and he's going up over people and catching balls and doing a hell of a job. That was something that was really nice. And took a lead into the half What did you like? What's Toon doing well, and what does he need to improve on for you right now?
Well, he got better from week one to week two. We focused hard on, just the bad can't be that bad. His bad plays can't be that bad. They can't change the one play can't change the game like that. He's got to prevent that. He went back and watched the Navy game from last year, which we'll get into in a minute, I know. But he was, I think he was like 25 for 35 for almost 400 yards against Navy last year, but he had four interceptions, and two of them were game-changing interceptions. So it happened in that game last year. It happened against Tulane. We overcame it against Tulane. He took care of the football the entire game. We got a little rattled late because BYU's a top 10 team, and in the fourth quarter when things got tight, they elevated their game, and we're just not quite there yet. But Clayton still took care of the ball. He's not forcing bad throws. He's not making bad decisions. He was extremely accurate, for three quarters. His completion percentage was a little high. So it showed improvement to me. Week one to week two, he showed improvement. And I think we're going to keep seeing that out of Clayton as well. He's a very motivated young man. His intelligence, his football IQ is high. He studies it. It means a lot to him. The rapport with the receivers will continue to strengthen, and I think he's just now starting to come into his own.
Yeah, yeah. Got to get five the ball more. Stevenson, no?
Yeah, we do. We do. He took a shot over the middle again on the first play, and, we got to prevent that. We're trying, I can assure you that. He knows that. I got frustrated late, but it's not for lack of trying. And BYU did a good job with them. They put their nickel back, on them on the outside. They funneled everything inside to the safeties, and that made it hard for us to get the ball. So we got to be creative, and we got to do different things to make sure that he gets touches. That was on me, probably a little bit more than anything. They did something that I wasn't prepared for. I can't let that happen. But I can assure you that we're going to try to get him the ball, and we'll try to get him the ball each and every week.
Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, Chastang Ford, and HRNP right here every week, ESPN 97.5. I got special teams. That has got to be something that, and we talk so well, special teams are so important. It's three parts of the game, and yeah, we all go, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever. Special teams was a killer for you on Friday night. I don't think between the punt game, the punt coverage with the halo call, with catching a punt on the 1 yard line, with the onside kick. But you wanted special teams was the difference in the game.
Putting a difference in the game, we lost the special teams. There's no question. Our yardage difference was minus 20. From field position. That's the highest I've ever seen, right? So they dominated special teams, which resulted in dominating field position. I don't know. That offense probably doesn't need very good field position anyway. I mean, they can pretty much drive it from where they're at, wherever they're at. The kick catch interference, they don't have a halo. They got rid of the halo rule like 5 years ago. So the halo rule used to be like 2 yards. You couldn't come in within a 2 yard radius of them. Well, now it's kick catch interference. So what kick catch interference is, if you interfere with the returner catching the ball, then it's a flag. Well, we didn't interfere with them catching the ball. It was a horrible call. And I don't want to get into the whole, referees were against us or any of that stuff. We all know that they're Big 12 refs and they don't like them very much. But that was not a good call. I can't coach that any better. I mean, we had six guys around the ball. They ran down there. They allowed the kid to catch the ball. The one weakness number five has is fielding punts. He's put three or four of them on the ground. We do that. So we're pretty motivated to get down there. And unfortunately, they called it, which was a bad call. But also, unfortunately, we didn't end up with that football anyway, which was a little baffling to me how we got six guys around the guy and we didn't catch it. Dalton hit a big field goal towards the end of the half. That was positive. Our kick return unit, they were daring us, and we didn't give Speedy a chance. They ran faster, played harder, and we couldn't sustain blocks up front. You know, we need to give Lane, our punter, a little bit of slack here. It's still live bullets for him in America for the first time ever with the helmet on. He'll continue to get better at that and understand that, yeah, they're coming to try to block the punt, and we need to do a better job of protecting it. He's got to relax and get some game snaps under his belt, and he's going to be a weapon like Dane was for us last year. So, yeah, you're right. We didn't do a very good job special teams-wise. We returned one punt for 25 yards. That was positive. We should get Marcus Jones back here this week, which is a difference maker back to returning punts as well. So a lot of work. Game two. Game one, we dominated special teams. Game two, they dominated us. We got to learn from that and get better, and hopefully it won't happen this week.
Absolutely. We'll talk about Navy on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgerson is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by Chastain Ford, and brought to you by HRNP, HRP.net. Taking a break. Don't you go anywhere. We've got the second half with the coach right here. Don't you leave.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Dana Holgerson every week right here on ESPN 97.5, 8 to 8:30, as he gets ready for Navy now. He's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by Chastain Ford, and brought to you by HRP. All right, the challenge is that Navy brings to the table, Dana, facing the triple option once a year is awfully difficult every single time you got to face these guys.
Yeah, it is. It's a big week for the Houston Cougars now. I mean, it's just we got to travel for the first time. You know, we're still trying to get into game shape a little bit. So we've had a good week of practice. Sunday night was really good. Our preparation in the building on Monday, I was happy with our practice on Tuesday morning. Our practice on Wednesday was good. So I'm happy with our preparation up until this point. There's still a lot of challenges ahead of us. Finishing the week from a mental perspective is big. You know, I'm pulling into the office now. We got meetings and walkthroughs and everything this morning, which is the mental aspect of it, which is good. You gotta be sound from an assignment perspective. And I'll tell you what Navy's done, which is really pretty smart. I mean, they got as much time as they got to do all that stuff with the offense, they got the same amount of time to do it with the defense. They posed a lot of challenges defensively, too, just with a lot of different things, and we got to be sound and disciplined up front with identifying their fronts, which there's a lot of them, with identifying their blitzes, which there's a lot of them. So it's the same thing for us offensively here. We got to work hard, and we got to prepare hard, and it's tricky to have to go out there and be disciplined and do assignment football for 60 minutes in Annapolis. It's a 3-hour trip that we got to do tomorrow. We got to fly up there to Maryland and deal with the whole airlines and hotels and buses on the road for the first time, being a foreign territory that most of us haven't been. I hear it's pretty nice up there, but haven't been. Some of our players have been, so they've been telling me about it. And then we got to play smart, and that's one thing that we've talked about all week. BYU is an old disciplined football team, and they out-disciplined us. We had too many mistakes. We had too many dumb things that we did. And at the end of the day, that's why they beat us. We can't do that against Navy. I mean, they're disciplined times two. So we got to be super smart on it. And we got to make sure that we play that way. And it'll be a big week for the Cougs to be able to make that much progress. We did get better from game one to game two. There's a lot of things that we did that was better, prevented some really bad stuff from happening, but we got to be more disciplined, and there's not a better time to do it than playing against the most disciplined team in the country, maybe.
Yeah, discipline is what they're all about there, so that is awfully important. Let's start. You said you did improve from week one to week two. Listen, where is your team's head? Because I did. I thought that they played some good football. I thought that they – and the score wasn't really indicative because it got out of hand. And there was, at the end of the game, you guys were trying to score, and they just piled on a couple of touchdowns there. After having to sit all that time, then being able to play and starting slow and then starting slow again here, but playing some good football this week. Where you think your team's head is?
Oh, I think it's good. I think we're motivated. You know, the biggest thing is you know, and I can't keep using this as an excuse, and I will not. But you know, BYU had four games under their belt too. I mean, they'd played a lot of ball, and you know, they had traveled to Annapolis and beat Navy. They had been at home for 3 weeks and had three home games where they whooped up on some people pretty good. You know, and Navy's in the same spot. Navy's played five games where we've played two. Now, I think that evens out after about three games. You know, but there was just some experience game shape stuff, and I think that's why they finished better than we did in the fourth quarter. I think our guys kind of fatigued out a little bit, and we, that's an excuse that can't keep happening, obviously, but you know, I just think that's where they're at. I think our team's in a good place. They're a motivated team. You know, we went from being down 14-3 to having a great second quarter, having the halftime lead. You know, really playing pretty good in the third quarter. The 99-yard drive. I mean, we can't have a 99-yard drive unless our punt returner fair catches it on the one, right? So, you know, which, yeah, I wasn't very happy about that. But anyway, that turned into a 17-play, 8-minute drive, and we scored a touchdown on Clayton's really good play by Clayton. So we battled, you know, and then just they're BYU's a really good team, so they elevated their game in the fourth quarter and ended up beating us. But preparation's been really good. I think they're excited about being able to line up and play again. It's going to be the same way for about 7 weeks. I think there's something to knowing that this is a conference game. I'm not giving anybody a pass for not beaten by BYU by any means, but it doesn't count against our conference record. And conference is what matters in 2020. It's why all these conferences are really only playing conference games. So Navy's first in our league right now at 3-0, and our team is motivated to go up there and beat the team that's leading our league and get us to 2-0 in the conference.
It was a great drive. I was like, what the heck are you doing catching that ball on the 1 yard line? If you're catching it on the 1 yard line, but then you turn that into a great drive. It was a 17 play, 45 minute drive with the review because I want to tell you, Dana, I don't know what you did to the Big 12. Do any of the referees like you in the Big 12? Because there were some calls, and that crew clearly had it out for – and I'm not going to – you know, there's no excuses and there's no whatever. They clearly had it out for you guys. To every single call seemed to have gone against you guys.
Well, they had like eight penalties, but – the review that you're talking about really did us a favor right there, although one of our guys lost. The guy came in and led with his head on KP Kyle, our running back, and it was low and it wasn't necessary, but then Kyle lost his head and headbutted him. And that's the stuff that I'm talking about that we got to present and get rid of. And, you know, that's fair catching it on the one. I don't understand it. But anyway, that kid Bryson Smith came back and made a heck of a play in the red zone on that drive, you know, so he kind of made up for that with a unbelievable
getting, you know, his foot in was catch. Unbelievable.
Yeah, heck of a catch, man. You know, so he made up for it. And all our guys are, you know, excited about it. You know, Kyle was embarrassed and said that stuff will never happen again. And our team just needs to get rid of all that stuff. But and if we do, I think we're a dang good football team because we do a lot of good stuff. You know, that's a hard thing to do. Drive the thing 99 yards in 8 minutes and you know, finish with a touchdown and take a, you know, but then we went and did some more stupid stuff and went out there and screwed up our 2-point conversion. We didn't get that. Could have been up by 14. We're up by 12. But then BYU just went right down and made three really good plays and scored. I don't know what I did. You know, they had some penalties, but six of them were pre-snaps. So those are pretty easy to call when you false start or you delay a game. I mean, there's nothing subjective about that.
No, but there was. There was a crappy interference call. There was a holding call that was ridiculous. I mean, he pushed him to the ground, and they called holding on him. I mean, there's no repercussions, right? Because that's a Big 12. They don't care what you think about their crew.
Well, it's terrible. They threw way too many flags, and our ten penalties. were all 15-yard penalties. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pass interference calls or they're unsportsmanlike. You know, if you block a guy to the ground, you know, you just kind of dominated the guy. You didn't, I mean, you pancaked him. It's a dominating block. And because it's so dominating, then they think it's illegal. So I just don't throw the flag. I mean, if it's any subjective at all, then just don't throw the flag. And this is the first time I can say this because they can't do anything to me right now. They don't like me. Well, I don't like them either. And it's just, so some of it, I can't coach any differently. Like, two of the PI calls, I can't coach it any differently. The kick catch interference, I can't coach it any differently. A couple of the holdings, I can't coach it any differently. So, you know, we just got to move on from it. You know, there's a lot of the dumb stuff that we got to get rid of. We're on track for being a pretty good football team. We just got to get rid of some of the dumb stuff and then play more. We just got to keep playing. We've only played two games. We got 7 really big games ahead of us that are all conference games that all count, that all matter, that are all important. Our team knows that. We're excited about going to Annapolis and lining up and playing again.
What do you think about the conference so far?
Navy
3-0, SMU 2-0, Cincinnati and you are 1-0, Tulsa's 1-0. Tulsa's a better football team than they've shown lately, and everybody else has got at least one loss.
Yeah, Tulsa plays at South Florida tomorrow night. I'd be anxious to watch that in the hotel room up in the Maryland tomorrow. Yeah, they played Oklahoma State pretty good. The league's good. The league's good, just like it has been. The league is good. I don't know if there's the dominating teams that the American has had. I think there's more parity in it. I mean, we're going to be a problem for some people. You know, Central Florida, I mean, they go, you know, they're 0-2 in the league. But they had 800 yards of offense against Memphis. I mean, you think they're not going to be a problem? They're going to be tough. You know, Memphis is just now coming out of their COVID rage, and looks like they're playing pretty good. SMU's played a lot of ball, you know, so they got a seasoned, experienced quarterback just like Memphis does. So, you know, and then Navy's always going to be a problem. There's a reason why. Now that we're not even watching the BYU game against them. They didn't even put on pads prior to that game, so that game don't count. They've won 3 conference games. That's the only thing our guys need to know.
They've got 9 more points in conference, and they're 3-0. They're not. The point differential is 9, and they're 3-0. So they're winning close games at Navy. So good luck, man. Get on. We're going to be watching at 2:30 on Saturday. University of Houston versus Navy, and we'll be rooting for you. We appreciate you being here, and we will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, John. See you, bud.
All right. There is Dana Holgerson right here, brought to you by Chastain Ford. That's where you go get your Ford on. It's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. You're looking to watch games, or you want to get your barbecue on, or you want to get your catering on. Delicious catering. They can do anything. It's not just barbecue. It's all kinds of catering. Go to Damaris.com. And, of course, HRP, HRP.net. They're our payroll and HR company, and they are just fabulous. HRP.net. Lance?
Yep.
Time to talk about your boy.
Yeah, Craig DeCerf. I got to tell you, I was, you know, one of the things I was thinking about the other day was when everybody around the city of Houston and really around the country was kind of freaking out because of the pandemic. One of the things that happened is they shut down the plants when they were making cars. So the manufacturing really took, you know, it just shut down, like everything shut down. And so cars started to really dwindle. And what, you know, the good people over at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton did is they said, look, when the pandemic was at the highest rate of concern here in Houston, they said, we won't stop doing what we do. We will make these prices, you know, as aggressive as possible so that you get great deals. They were looking for trade-in values. They found the lowest, you know, lowest mileage cars and trucks and had them out there for people. People continue to buy. Well, now the manufacturing has started to ramp back up and they've got over 180 vehicles in stock. And they have some great purchase allowances, dealer purchase allowances for buyers who are looking for awesome vehicles like the Chevy Silverado pickup truck, for example. So why don't you go to LanceZCars.com? Remember, they're in Angleton, but they can come out to you here in Houston and drop your car off. You can get everything done online. They can make it super simple. And customer support and getting your any type of work done on your vehicle service that you need, top notch. They always win the Customer Service Index Award in that for the city of Houston. LanceZCars.com. It's Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, and GMC.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. By the way, Lance, I was telling you the explosive plays a little bit earlier for NFL teams versus the away explosive rate versus the home explosive rate. It's a Pro Football Focus thing. The guy's name is Ian Hartitz. How would you like to go through life with your name, Heart Tits?
Okay.
You made that up, by the way.
No, that's his name. I didn't make it up, Nick. His name is Ian Heart Tits.
I feel like he made that up.
No.
I got to search this.
It's fake.
It's not fake. He works for Pro Football Focus.
Ah, just what I said. Some kid in Ireland.
That's not. Well, it actually might be.
Yeah, they all started in Ireland.
Actually, he is. He looks like a douche, kind of. He's got a cigarette holder. He's got a white hat. He's in some kind of convertible.
John, handle. Let me ask you a question real quick.
iHeartTits.
What is it?
iHeartTits is his Twitter handle.
iHeartTits. That's what I said.
Huh. John, can I ask you a question? Does he have a blue check mark?
He does not have a blue check mark.
Okay, then you can't believe him.
Well, yes, you can believe, people without blue check mark. Yes.
The internet, Twitter told me that this guy, John Granato, we're not going to believe him because the stuff he says, he doesn't even have a check mark. Pat McAfee said that.
I know, right?
It might be a lie.
He doesn't have a blue check mark, so I don't know. Like, everybody gives a rat's ass about blue check marks, okay? Oh, my gosh. That's the worst.
When you don't have a blue check mark.
No, the worst is when, well, how many followers do you have?
Twitter, you know, I found out, this has been a while, but Twitter's just nothing more than extended junior high or middle school. That's all it is. Like, people writing letters, only their letters to other people and stuff like that. Their drama, like junior high drama, plays out on a stream of comments that go, you know, that stream up your computer screen or your phone or whatever. That's all it is. It's just nothing but extended junior high and high school is all it is. Well, he's not very popular. He doesn't have many friends. What have you ever done? No one even likes you here at this school. Hey, guys, can I sit at this lunch table? You have people trying to get into the cool kids club and sit down and like, I know you cool kids on Twitter just do a lot of talking back and forth. You mind if I jump in here and sit at the table? Like, God, it's the lamest. Twitter, the dynamics for some people at least of Twitter being like their chance to be at junior high and high school and bully people, be the mean girls or mean boys again or whatever. Or maybe they got bullied in high school or junior high or they felt ostracized, so they're going to do that on Twitter. It's hilarious to me watching people do that. It's like, wow, this is just like junior high. By the way, I sent you guys something that Mark Berman had. I guess there was extra interviews with the Astros, and Brent Strom spoke with Mark Berman. And I sent you and Nick an email. So I'd like to play that because it's basically Strom talking about Carlos Correa. So I want to get that ready to go. Until we do that, are you going to go get your free tacos, guys? You know that Mookie Betts won you a free taco from Taco Bell, right?
Well, was it yesterday you had to go get it? Or
no, the 28th.
Oh, you going to get a free – Nick, you getting your free taco?
On the 28th?
I love a free taco. Why not?
Well, because I don't care about a free taco.
Doritos Locos?
Doritos – it's a Doritos Locos
taco? I think it's Doritos Locos, which is basically like a Dorito shell. You have all the Dorito cheese. I'm just going to tell you now, I like Doritos. And I will eat have I ever put Doritos, a package – like a small package of Doritos in a bowl and to put meat and cheese and beans on it? Yes, I have. So why would I not eat a Doritos Locos?
There's something about bread and Doritos for me, like that texture crunchy mix. Soft.
You're talking about sandwich with chips inside of it.
Yeah.
I like it too.
Well, I like any chips. I like any chips inside a sandwich. I mean, especially like Ruffles or regular Lay's potato chip, whatever.
Oh, you like all the plain stuff. Ruffles is okay. I love sour cream and onion. Yeah,
what?
You like the sun chips?
I can destroy a sandwich with sour cream and onion chips.
I feel like
in
that's the healthy version of chips, isn't it?
You know what?
Pretend they are.
I've never done a Parmenti sandwich, you know, with the fries in it.
Parmenti Brothers, yeah. I have. So I did one at the stadium when my dad coached for the Steelers, and I was like, what's the big deal? And then I went to one of their actual locations where it was better, you know, it was fresh, it was hot. And it's fine. I mean, it's not like something I wouldn't do as a kid. What, throw some French fries on a sandwich? Yeah, I'd do that. But honestly, the better sandwich is actually chips on the side. That crunch like Nick talked about, that's the better. Oh, John, did I tell you I found – yeah, I talked about the bulgogi fries over at Roostar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the meat on top of the big cut French fries. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, but the corn with the egg on it?
Yeah.
Roostar is pretty good now.
It is, and it's Roostar's pretty good. 10 a.m., so it's a dream come true. Now, here's Brent Strom. Nick pulled up Brent Strom. He was talking to Mark Berman, and it's on Mark Berman's Twitter. But this is Brent Strom talking about talking to pitchers and Carlos Correa.
If you noticed, late in this series, especially game 6, 8, 7, there were times I was going to go make a trip to the mound, and I was at the top step. Then I noticed Carlos Correa coming in, and I said, I don't need to go. Carlos Correa basically became a conduit for me, and he'd been around me enough, and he was a motivating factor for these young kids, and so I just stayed in the dugout and let the players play.
Has there ever been a guy who has raised his profile more in a single season and really in a 2 to 3 week span than Carlos Correa?
No. No.
I mean, the way that he handled the situation that went off with Fromber, that he got after Diaz, was there in the middle of it. Then he went and got into Fromber and told him to basically do his job, not worry about this, pump him up. And I guess what Strom's saying is, look, if Strom needed to talk about release point or – you know, whatever it is that's technical, he would have gone out there. But if he's just going out there to be a fatherly, you know, calm a pitcher down, that's where the Carlos Correa thing came in. And these young guys are likely to listen to Carlos Correa. And that's just such a huge – when you have that type of leadership where he can go kind of calm a pitcher down, especially if it's a Latin pitcher like Christian Javier or Urquidy or – you know, Fromber, you have a higher number of those of Latin pitchers than I think you've probably ever had. They listen to Carlos, and Carlos, you know, Fromber got that double play right after getting into it with Diaz, and, you know, Carlos went over and bumped him and was pumping him up. I mean, I haven't seen anyone raise his profile in a city more than Carlos Correa has. And it's not like we didn't know he had leadership qualities, but, man, it was really, really on display this year.
It's so hard to be a leader when your OPS is 760 or, if you're not carrying your weight, it's easy, much easier. You know how Altuve became a leader in the clubhouse is because he was the best player on the team. And in baseball, I mean, and in any sport, that's pretty much what happens. Now, there are some guys that aren't built for leadership. I don't think – just because you're the best player on the team doesn't mean you're a leader, but it's hard to be a leader when you're not the best player on the team. It happens. You can be a guy that just set, you know, by example, but you got to perform too. The guys won't respect you unless you come through, unless you're a guy that they can count on. And they just won't. So for Carlos, the way he played, then all of a sudden it seemed like that confidence at the plate gave him so much confidence in the field – and talking to pitchers and just being in the middle of everything. Every pitching, every mound visit, Carlos Correa was in the middle of it.
Yeah, Carlos Correa, whether it's for the Astros or someone else, he has taken a new step in his development. You know, we keep waiting. And, John, I have to ask again. I mean, I've done this a couple times, but is this the postseason where we see what Carlos can truly become? And is this what he's going to become? For, I mean, is he still going to be a 20-home run guy, or is this the year we see that Carlos is now going to break out into his true prime and be a 30 home run, high 20 to 30 home run guy who stays healthy, who plays that gold glove defense. Guy should have two or three gold gloves if he stayed healthy. He has no gold gloves because he can't stay healthy. There's not a lot of shortstops I would take over Carlos Correa defensively, but I really do wonder if this is the turning point in his career where he goes from good to great. And it is scary thinking that, you know, the Astros will either lose him and he'll be great for someone else, or they will sign him to a long-term, very expensive deal, and he deals with some of the same issues we've seen in the past. That's just in which is inconsistency in terms of as a power hitter and the inability to stay healthy. That's the concern right now.
Well, yeah, I mean he certainly is peaking at the right time, right? It would be nice if it was next year, but this carries over into next year, and now he has a full season. We've seen him for 60 games now, and he was pretty good, but his postseason.
John, would you give him money? I would try to – if you knew that Brantley and Springer were leaving for sure, what would be wrong with trying to get him to sign a year early?
You're
worried sign that, this year instead
well,
of
– Well, you got instead you, of, listen, don't you still have to see it over 162?
Well, I just worry that once you let him get one more year in, it's a wrap.
He still has got to prove that he's going to be healthy.
And I know, you're right.
And he's going to hit and be that same guy over 162. You know, a playoff run is a small sample size, and it's awesome, and he did it against great pitching and he in the most pressure situations. But this has got to be a day-in, day-out thing. You can't – so far, there's nothing has changed about whether or not you can count on Carlos Correa, right?
No, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. It's just – before we get to a break here, of Springer, Brantley, and Correa, which guy – how would you rank them in likelihood of returning to the Astros, and what would that percentage be for the top guy?
I think Correa is about a – 50-50.
Ooh, that's good. Better than I was expecting.
And I think that the other guys are like 10%.
Ooh, what?
Yeah.
Springer's 10%?
Yeah, I really do. I think the Mets are going to come up. The Red Sox are going to come up. I think it's going to be the Mets. I think he's got to make a splash and piss off Yankee fans, and Springer's the perfect guy for it. And I think Brantley, too. Brantley could end up as a Red Sox. I just don't think those guys are coming back. I just don't.
All right. When we come back, there's a little update on University of Texas and their Eyes of Texas stuff. I don't know if you saw that, so we'll get into that. I'll be watching games on my patio this weekend. Texas Custom Patios is anytime anyone comes over the house, they love the patio. They've heard me talk about it. It's fantastic, but people have way better patios than me. If you go to the website, texascustompatios.com, some of the patios you see built are just incredible, and I want you to experience that for yourself. I want you to check out what your home could look like. And remember, if you're interested in having it during the best weather, do it now. I mean, jump on board now. Get them to come out because it takes about 4.5 to 5 months total. So if you get it done now, you're still right there in the middle of spring. You've got it in good shape. You can get through the summer. Go get those big fans. They can install the big fans that really blow through the through your patio and give you a nice coverage of cooler air. And there's things they can do for you in terms of building that patio so that you have it kind of weatherproofed almost. But I'm just telling you now, you need to get it done now. But the difference it makes for your entertaining, for whether you're entertaining yourself or other people with outdoor kitchens put in, the big screen television, a surround sound system, it takes it to another level. TexasCustomPatios.com, TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, the number to call. A survey of members revealed several students are unwilling to play the school song. song has divided the university community in recent months over its ties to minstrel shows where performers wore blackface. That from the Texas Tribune. It looks like the Texas Longhorn Band won't play the Eyes of Texas this weekend. How did that sit? How's that sitting in your house?
What's that?
How's that sitting in
your
house?
I think my wife wants to hear Eyes of Texas. She just sees it differently. She understands the concerns, but she thinks that playing the songs, I mean, I don't think she sees that as a direct affront, but I don't want to speak for her necessarily, but you know, the band is not going to, I'm on a text string with her and then one other person who is, a Longhorn who you wouldn't know this person, John, but they are very upset. This girl is very upset about the players not, you know, about Eyes of Texas being shut down. She was all for all the other changes that went on at Texas, and as my wife has been. But I don't know. They just you and I have talked about this before. They see this differently. They don't think it's a direct affront on anyone, I don't think. And once again, I don't want to necessarily speak for my wife. But not playing it. I had somebody say, well, what about if Texas just did away with the band? I mean, there's financial issues anyway. What do you need a band for? You're not going and competing in contests. What if you just gave the band a break for a few years? And if they did that, that would be a lot of people probably pissed off. But, you know, to be honest with you, if you, I don't know, do band members get scholarships? If they ask you to play the school song, you don't play it. That's, or the Eyes of Texas, that would be pretty interesting to see how they, you know, they're not going to travel now. Maybe they won't use. I know there's been talk about maybe the band won't be there. They'll just play stuff over the PA announcers, which they've done in the past already this year, and just kind of phase out the band anyway for at least this year.
That would be interesting.
I'm
with your
care?
Wife. I mean, just because the people wore blackface when they were doing it, and that has nothing to do with today.
Well,
that
they
has nothing
they
to do
the music. I think
what?
Yeah, right.
I mean, the music, does the right? song have? Does it have racist overtones? No. Just because some people sang it in blackface, there's probably a lot of songs that people sang in blackface. Or I don't know. I mean, it just seems to me this is a reach. This is a reach. I understand being upset, and I can see Confederate statues. I get it. Robert E. Lee. I can see that. That I understand. That dude fought and killed people just so that we could have slavery. I get that. But this is a reach.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people in Texas that feel that way. Like you're on a hill that you don't need to be on necessarily because I know there's some people who consider this something that will hurt the cause, you know, that it's, and I'm talking about people who are hard left who I've kind of spoken to about this. Well, I consider them to be harder left and they've said, you know, this is not the fight. Like this song is not the fight. The fight is going to be to diversify this, that, and the other, but this song, all you're going to do is tick people off and people who could be an ally for you, people who have money, who are people who can make changes. Have money meaning, you know, Longhorn boosters who need to pay off the $187 million of debt service on the new expansion of the stadium. People who can get things done at a university. If you just make them mad over a song like this, because it doesn't really like you said, I don't think there's any words, you know, gator bait. I didn't know what gator bait was. You find that stuff out. Okay. That makes sense. Shut down gator bait. Cause I didn't know the history of that. And I think a lot of people are learning the history of stuff they didn't know about, for sure. So, this one though, I mean, it's not my school. They can have their fight however they want to do it. I'm interested to see how it plays out. At some point, if you demand this, once you people think you cross the line, people who are in authority, and you just say, we're not listening to you, we're doing whatever we want, at some point they're just going to shut stuff down and say, okay, then we're not going to do this. And I wonder if the band will be that where Texas stands up and says, all right, you know what, we're not having band members tell us what they are or aren't going to play, so we're just not going to have the band there this year. And how many more games is it? Like 3 at home? I don't even know. It may not be that big a deal, but it's not going away. And for the coach has to be, you and I've talked about this, man, that is a tricky spot for Tom Herman. You can't piss off players. You can't piss off people who keep you employed. And, you know, people are throwing around rumors about Urban Meyer already at University of Texas, and that behind the scenes they're ready to bring in Urban. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what this whole school song thing, if this is going to end up being a bigger issue down the road or not.
I think it would be, you know, I think it would be telling for them if they did, you know, cut the band and said, listen, you guys don't have to show up. This is that. That's and it would. I think it would send a message and say, "Okay, let's pick the right battles here. This is a battle that you just lost, because listen, the band is important, and I think there are band scholarships. I don't know if they're not full scholarships and whatnot, but I do believe that there are band scholarships, and you know these guys, they practice and they work hard, and they. You know, all of the moves that they make, and all of the, you know, they put a lot of work into this thing, and for them to just say we're not going to do something, I don't know how many of them actually know why, or because there was, how many of them actually care, but you know, in today's world, I'm gonna jump on, yes, I'm gonna make a stand here for the eyes of Texas. That's what you're making a stand for? That's where you're digging your feet in? Really? it doesn't make sense to me. And it's not going to make sense to them if the school says, listen, we don't need the band now. That's okay, guys. Thanks. Thanks for all you've done, but we're not going to need the band anymore. And you're right. They can play the Eyes of Texas over the loudspeakers. You know? They can play the Eyes of Texas over the speakers. They've got the song. So, you know, if the university wants to play the Eyes of Texas, they'll play the Eyes of Texas. And everybody can still, you know, do their horns. And I you know what? To me, that's the answer. Because I get that we're held hostage right now in this world. But there, at some point, you have to say enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Yeah.
You know what? You guys don't want to play the song. That's all right. We'll play it anyway, and we don't need you here.
Yeah, from a strategic standpoint, I mean, I don't care about a band, but I don't know, some people do. I think it adds to the college football experience, but so does fans. So this is not your normal year. I would just shut it down for the year. There's no reason to have the band out there. You don't. I mean, the players aren't going to be out there where you play the song. You're not really going to have a bunch of fans in the stadium. I just would shut it down. There's no reason to have the band out there this year. If this is just going to be an issue that really supersedes the team and stuff like that, then just eliminate the issue and just play it over loudspeaker, and that's that. And Sam can stand out there by himself, and a couple coaches can be out there, and the fans can, and that can be the issue. But just eliminate the band from it, and then come back and revisit it next year, whatever. I just think at this point, if it's just going to be another thing that you have to deal with, because Texas football is dealing with, you know, Tom Herman's got some heat. I would just eliminate it.
Yeah. Of all the things that we're talking about the band. Art says, we're talking about the band. We're talking about the marching band. I mean, marching band.
Wait. Really? Band members do get scholarships.
Yeah. Apparently, yeah, they do. As wow. I said. But not full. I don't think they get full rides, but they get scholarships for. And here's the deal, is, well, we don't need you. Sorry. And yeah, you're right. You know what Texas has got to worry about? The football team. You know what they don't need? A controversy about the damn band.
I know. I'm being for real. The band is the last thing that you need to be. Oh my God! Now we got a band thing when we can't even tackle.
Well, but nobody can tackle. Remember.
Yeah, no, because of the pandemic eliminated tackling because of the social distancing.
Right.
By the way, can you imagine if the president said, hey, he gathers all the band members, we just want to let you know we are disbanding band, and your scholarships will be void after this year. All of a sudden, they're picking up trumpets.
You know that.
They start playing it
wait.
It's
just expensive
as bleep to go to college.
Well, you know, listen, that's what you're there for, though.
My money.
You're there to play the Eyes of Texas. That's what you're there for.
No, you're not, John. You're not there to play that.
Yes, you are. That's what you're there for. So play the damn song. Play the damn song. And you know what?
They didn't want to.
When you got to buy a Ford car or truck, get it a chest thing forward. We talked about it with Dana a little bit earlier. These are Cougs. These are great people. Dana, I love Patrick. I love Joe. They are really, really nice people. And what they're going to do is they're going to get you into that Ford car or truck. Listen, they're the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston, Ford dealer in the city of Houston. That's saying something about them. It's saying that the businesses trust them, that businesses know that they're going to take care of them, that businesses know that they will service them. Businesses know that they know exactly what they're doing and that they're going to get – listen, if you've got a business, you want to buy that vehicle at the lowest price you can possibly get it, that's what they're getting at Chastain Ford. And they're going to work that same deal for you retail-wise as well, you know, because they're going to – I'm telling you, when I walked in there, I said, okay, where do you have to be on your payments? And I went low, and they were like, okay, we'll get you there. And first thing when you get online, they're going to say, okay, where do you got to be with your payments? And you can do everything online. You got pre-owned cargo vans starting at $22,595. I'm telling you, I used it to move. It is an awesome, awesome vehicle. The STX right now, fantastic. It starts at $29,999 or $499 a month with nothing down. It's ridiculous how low they're going, and all at ChastainFord.com. You can do it all online. You can get everything done. You never have to show up at the dealership. You can't do that at other dealerships because they're going to try to upsell you. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, ChastainFord.com, or get to 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.